If you would oblige me, I would like to see a show of hands of those of you who had heard of Bodhi Day before seeing something about our service today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, not very many. Thank you, appreciate that. Over the past couple of weeks, I'd mentioned to several people that I plan to speak today about Bodhi Day, and the responses I received seem to indicate that this holiday isn't very well known by most people. And the showing of hands certainly indicates that. So that made me wonder if there would be anyone here today who would be familiar with the holiday, and that's the reason I decided to ask the question. Now, what we might wonder is, what does this holiday commemorate? I would imagine that by now, after hearing a peace candle reading attributed to the Buddha, a story for all ages about the Buddha, and a reading about what the Buddha taught, that you've probably figured out that this has something to do, Bodhi Day has something to do with Buddhism. And several of the people who've been involved are involved in the Buddhist group here. So, you know, you've probably figured it out. Bodhi Day is one of the significant holidays in the Buddhist tradition. It's celebrated in different times and dates in various parts of the world. You know how that happens in many holidays. People choose different dates. But in Japan, the holiday always falls on December 8th, this coming week. Now that we know the date of the holiday, the next question is, what significant event does this holiday honor? In many religious traditions, holidays are established that commemorate the physical birth or death of a spiritual leader or teacher. Bodhi Day commemorates neither of these, and yet, in some ways, it encompasses both birth and death. This Buddhist holiday commemorates the day that Siddhartha Gautama attained enlightenment. As a result of attaining enlightenment, he became known as the Buddha, or the Awakened One. His enlightenment, it is claimed, represented the birth of a level of awareness that had not previously been attained by any human being. His enlightenment also represented a type of death. The death within Gautama of desire and craving. From his awakening to the end of his life, the Buddha would teach that in order to attain enlightenment and realize the way leading to the cessation of suffering, desire and craving needed to be extinguished. Finding the way leading to the cessation of suffering is the fourth and final of the noble truths the Buddha realized upon achieving enlightenment. The first noble truth, as we heard in our reading this morning, states that there is suffering. This truth, which in the Pali language is called dukkha, claims that every human life involves suffering. Suffering, as James Baraz and Shoshana Alexander write in the book Awakening Joy, includes the experience of stress, unsatisfactoriness, or unreliability. Another word that couldn't be included with these three, I think, is disappointment. So, I'd like to have another show of hands here, if you would. Please raise your hand if you have never experienced stress, unsatisfactoriness, unreliability, or disappointment. Okay, none. Check, make sure. Well, this is a relatively small group, so let's see if we can make it a little bit bigger group. This time, let's make the number of people much bigger. Think of all the people you've ever met, and please raise your hand if you've ever met a person who never experienced stress, unsatisfactoriness, unreliability, or disappointment. Think hard. Still no hands. Okay, well, maybe the Buddha was onto something. Maybe with his recognition of suffering, he identified a truth about life. If that's the case, I don't know, I need a show of hands to find out who would like to find a way for suffering to cease. My guess is it would be every hand in this room. That's something that I'm certain all of us would want, because every person I have ever met has wanted that. But how do we get there? Not just for ourselves, but how would we get there for others as well? That was what the Buddha wanted. The end of suffering for all, not just for himself. So now we all know something about Bodhi Day and what it means and its importance as a Buddhist holiday. Does this holiday have any relevance to us? And by us, I mean us as Unitarian Universalists. I would imagine that those of you who participate in the UU Buddhist group here at UUFB would respond that this holiday and what it commemorates definitely has relevance. Otherwise, I would imagine you wouldn't be in that group or in this group. The fact that I've chosen to focus this entire service on Bodhi Day, I think pretty clearly demonstrates that I'm in agreement with those of you who already are there. Now, those of you who aren't very familiar with Buddhism or the teachings of the Buddha may be unsure about how this holiday specifically relates to our Unitarian Universalist faith. To attempt to address this uncertainty, I would ask you to turn to the back of your order of service. There you will find the seven principles of the Unitarian Universalist Association, as well as a list of the many sources of our living tradition, and those are the sources that we draw from as we seek to truth and to grow in spirit. Within these principles and sources, I believe we find a number of connections between what we as Unitarian Universalists hold dear and what the holiday known as Bodhi Day commemorates. To begin, let's look at the third source. It is one of the bullet points near the middle of the page. It states, "Wisdom from the world's religions which inspire us in our ethical and spiritual life." I would propose that if the Buddha actually discovered the way leading to the cessation of suffering, then clearly his teachings contain wisdom that our world desperately needs today. But do we have any way of knowing whether or not what he discovered really works? In other words, do the things he taught his disciples actually reduce suffering? these are the types of questions that fit within another one of our sources listed on the back of your order of service. The next to the last bullet point indicates that we, you use, draw from humanist teachings, which counsel us to heed the guidance of reason and the results of science, and warn us against idolatries of the mind or spirit. While in some religious traditions, people are expected to simply accept what is taught on faith, well, we UUs tend to want facts to base our faith on. We aren't very good at idol worship. We're just not. The Buddha didn't take things only on faith either. Instead, he questioned and he sought to test out the answers he arrived at. That's also what he did with his students. He provided them with questions to consider deeply and thoughtfully. And he instructed them to meditate on these questions until they would come to their own answer, their own awareness. Consistently, the Buddha encouraged his students to actively engage in various practices that had allowed him to become enlightened. He also encouraged them to discover for themselves whether those practices were beneficial or not. One of the practices he regularly engaged in and taught his students was meditation. For several years prior to sitting down at the base of that tree many, many years ago, the Buddha had learned to meditate and to focus his mind like a laser beam. He could focus on his breathing for extended periods of time, or he could focus on a question or a concept until he reached a level of perception, understanding, and clarity that would otherwise have been impossible. In the last 20 plus years, medical science has begun doing research on the benefits of meditation, specifically what is referred to as mindfulness meditation. And those of you in the Buddhist group, if you've read any Buddhist scriptures, see the word mindful again and again and again and again. The scientific research indicates that such meditation does, in fact, reduce the level of suffering a person experiences, and not just by a little bit. Sarah Lazar, a neuroscientist at Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School, was one of the first scientists who decided to test claims about the benefits of meditation and mindfulness. She tested the claims using brain scans. What she found was that in as little as 8 weeks, the practice of meditation could physically, hear this, physically change the structure and size of a person's brain. One part of the brain that meditation changes in a beneficial way is the amygdala, the part of the brain that regulates anxiety, fear, and stress. Currently, Richard Davidson, with the Center of Healthy Minds through the University of Wisconsin-Madison, is working with the Dalai Lama to explore even more benefits that Buddhist teachings and practices may provide. Nearly 2,500 years after the Buddha's death, science is indicating that the practices the Buddha taught may, in some cases, be the way to reduce suffering. Maybe in another 20 or 30 or 50 years, science will confirm that the Buddha actually discovered the way to the cessation of suffering. Who knows? We shall see. And there is yet another reason that Buddha Day deserves our attention and our interest. Again, I would have you turn to the back of your order of service. This time, look at the fourth bullet point near the top of the page. As Unitarian Universalist congregations, we affirm and promote a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. At least two centuries before our principles were adopted, the Buddha was doing just that, promoting a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. And not only that, he was also instructing those who came to him to continually seek to demonstrate compassion in human relations. Compassion in human relations is something our second principle calls us to do. If by this point any uncertainty about how Bodhi Day may be relevant to Unitarian Universalism still remains, I would encourage you to speak with me after the service or attend a meeting of the Buddhist group. Contact and meeting information for the group can be found in your announcements insert, those blue colored pages. My hope is that what I've shared with you today makes it clear that there is a good deal about this unfamiliar holiday that we UUs can and should relate to. So, as Bodhi Day approaches, I would encourage each of us to be mindful of what the day commemorates. The enlightenment of a man who sought the path to the cessation of suffering. And as we go forward from this place, it is my wish that each of us may live our lives in a manner that reduces suffering not only in our lives, but that reduces suffering in the lives of others as well. May it be so.